Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. The Bears and Packers, the NFL's oldest rivalry, will open up the NFL's 100th season in Chicago for Thursday night football going down September the 5th. The Super Bowl champion Patriots will host the Sunday night or week one. Their opponent has yet to be named. The Oakland Raiders are staying in Oakland for the short term, at least. The NFL approving a deal to keep the Raiders in Oakland until their move to Las Vegas. The Raiders' new stadium in Vegas expected to be completed by August of 2020. Michael Avenatti, best known for being the lawyer of porn star Stormy Daniels, arrested today after being indicted on four counts involving an alleged extortion attempt of the shoe and apparel company Nike. Federal prosecutors say they're going to charge Avenatti on separate wire and bank fraud as well. According to prosecutors, Avenatti demanded more than $20 million in payments to not publicize the findings until the eve of Nike's quarterly earnings. That's at the start of the NCAA basketball tournament. At least one person close to Rob Gronkowski isn't closing the door on his playing career, even after the tight end announced his retirement last night on Instagram. Gronk's agent Drew Rosenhaus said he wouldn't be shocked to see the veteran tight end return at some time in the upcoming season to the Patriots. Jason Witten did make his return from the broadcast booth to the Dallas Cowboys. Gronk leaves the NFL as one of the most dominant tight ends in nine seasons, 79 career touchdowns, putting him in a tie for third behind only Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. 79 touchdowns to boot, 521 catches, and 7,861 yards. Stellar career for a guy that was banged up quite a bit. After surviving a big-time scare against UCF, Duke is still listed as the favorite to win the 2018 NCAA hoop tournament heading into the Sweet 16. The Blue Devils listed at 3-1 to win it all. Gonzaga now 4-1. Virginia plus 450. Biggest long shots on the board. LSU and Oregon both 50-1. Duke takes on ACC rival Virginia Tech Friday in Washington, D.C. And despite numerous blowouts, the opening weekend scored the second highest TV ratings in 29 years. Game coverage averaged the second highest ratings through the first weekend since 1991. Viewership up 8% since last year. That's a big change there. And obviously, viewership, it spiked during the final minutes of that Duke-UCF thriller. College hoop tourneys on the go tonight. The NCAA Sweet 16 will resume Thursday, but here's the board for tonight. Four games in the CBI quarterfinals. Coastal Carolina at West Virginia. Mountaineers minus 10.5, 157. Utah Valley is at South Florida. The Bulls are laying 2, 146.5. Longwood, they're at DePaul. The Blue Demons, big favorites, laying 14.5. 155.5 is your over-under. And Brown is at Loyola Marymount. Loyola Marymount now 6.5-point favorites. 138.5 is the over-under. One game in the NIT tonight. Norfolk State is at Colorado. The Buffaloes minus 14, total 147. Four games in the association tonight, just four. At 7 o'clock, Philly laying 1.5 points on the road versus Orlando. 219, the over-under. Oklahoma City takes on the Grizz in Memphis. Thunder minus 7, 216.5. This is an 8 o'clock start. At 9, Phoenix is at Utah. Jazz minus 15, 216.5. And at 10 o'clock, Brooklyn takes on Portland. The Blazers are 6.5-point favorites, over under 223. Busy night in the NHL. We got 9 games on the ice, a trio at 7. Florida and Toronto, Leafs minus 226.5. Buffalo at the Devils. Sabres small favorites, 115, 5.5. Pittsburgh, they're laying 190 at the New York Rangers, over under 6. At 7:30, a battle of Eastern Powers. Boston at Tampa, the Lightning, minus 150, total 6. Three more games at 8 o'clock. Good one here, too. Vegas at St. Louis to meet the Blues. Blues minus 135, 5.5. Nashville is minus 135 at Minnesota. Total 5 flat in that one. Dallas at Winnipeg. Jets minus 145, 5.5. And at 9 o'clock, Calgary hosting the LA Kings. Flames minus 330, total 6. And look at this one. Woohoo! San Jose and SJ Sharkey minus 400 versus Detroit. Remember, Detroit did upset Vegas as a huge underdog. Total in that game is 6.5. Stick around, everybody. It's going to be a great day on the show. Gabe's back from Atlantic City. We're going to talk to the Daily Roto guys, go over the NBA card tonight. We got picks, DFS lineups, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. I'm Cam Stewart, and Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage. Stick around, everybody. Red Heat and Rage coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. Back to live action, the fellas. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage Radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. iHeart. I am Gabriel Morency. Throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart, in Toronto, Ontario. We are in New York, New Jersey. It's Monday. We've got a pretty busy show today. Big man on campus. We'll talk some college basketball. Got a full slate of games tonight and all those other tournaments that are going on. We've got Ricky Sanders. We're going to talk some DFS. Mike Blewett will step up and in and join us in a 5 o'clock hour today. So we've got a full house, including the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Morenci? Yeah, I hope Atlantic City was good to you. The tournament, some up, some downs. I had a pretty good night after the Tennessee debacle. I took the Volunteers -7. They pissed away a 25-point lead. Hey, that's college sports. But, you know, we're still surviving. Would have been a lot nicer if UCF could beat Duke for your futures with North Carolina and mine with Virginia. Getting Duke out a bit out of the tournament would have been real sweet, too. And I probably would have been in the top three final in Billy the Doorman's tournament, guarantee myself at least $1,000. But we're in fifth right now. It could be a hell of a lot worse, 125 entrants. We're knocking on the doorstep, buddy. So hopefully Duke can get knocked out and we could go deep.
You know, it's funny when you fill out these brackets, and I'm in a $100 cash league. It's about $1,000 on the line, I believe. When you fill these brackets out, you figure, you know, I got to take a chance here. I got to take a chance there. Yet, you know, when you look at your bracket after the first weekend, I'm thinking, man, I was really pushing it, getting Cal Irvine into the Sweet 16. Like, kind of pushing it.
At least they won a game.
Yeah, they did, but I don't get, like, bonus points for that. And
that's true.
You know, New Mexico State was another one I had going to the Sweet 16. It's crazy because they nearly beat Auburn. They lost by 1 point. They had the ball last.
Exactly.
They lost by 1 point, so it was close. But, hey, it is what it is. I'm still holding on to my North Carolina ticket here. It's, you know, pays back $1,503.75.
Real money.
Because the dude. Yeah, the dude put an extra quarter on it because I had a quarter change. So he's like, oh, I'll just put the quarter on the future. But, hey, I'm liking my chances. Listen, North Carolina are going to play Auburn. And if they're able to beat Auburn, they'll get the winner of Houston and Kentucky, which, you know, won't be an easy game for them. But I think North Carolina is the better team. Put it this way. North Carolina are now plus 550. Maybe I should go on that website, Cam, and try to sell it. I'll see, you know that you can sell your tickets.
It's actually a great move. It's a great move.
How much will you pay me for this ticket right now?
Good point. Actually, no. If you had even more, Morenci, I'd suggest it because you can guarantee yourself some money. But you know what? Ride it out for another game and let the odds continue to get better for yourself. If you get to the Elite Eight or Final Four, then you can really start to think about the hedge. But one bet that I made that was really, really good, Gabe, and we talked about it on the show, disappointment in golf with Nick Taylor. I'm not even going to tell you what happened there. Gabe, he was 3 over on the final holes to finish 23rd. He was actually 6th going into the snake pit there, and he 3 over. But anyway, that's a story for another day. The Pac-12 teams winning more than 1.5, a lock. And Oregon themselves winning 2 games, Washington winning a game, and Arizona State won the play-in game. So all this talk, you know, got to hand it to the Ducks. They win the conference tournament, and they kept the momentum going pretty good. Easy ride, but the next game, they got to play Virginia. I need Virginia to take out the Ducks. Quack, 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 quack. Duck hunting.
Yeah, I think the Cavaliers will do some duck hunting and be successful at it.
Hope so.
More successful than a Robert Mueller was. And Michael Avenatti as well. I like how you have Avenatti. His day came. Hope you enjoyed your 15 minutes of fame because now's buddy. Payback.
You got that right.
Game time decisions continue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Decisions ready, Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, but now on YouTube as well. So March Madness continues, and the madness in the real world continues. Normally, we really wouldn't talk about Michael Avenatti and him getting arrested earlier today in Manhattan, but it is tied to basketball, and it is tied to Nike and it's tied to a AAU coach, in which, you know, we all know the perils and the crookedness, we should say, the sleaziness of the shoe companies, and when it comes to these high school players and these all-star teams and high school all-star teams. So Michael Avenatti was representing a AAU coach who clearly didn't feel as though he was getting what he was worth. We don't know who the coach is. Turned out Nike was paying the coach $72,000, but he was basically trying to shake down Nike for $1.5 million, saying that he had, you know, he was going to go public with some very negative things about Nike and how they operate. And he wanted $1.5 million. Michael Avenatti was representing him and then asked Nike for $22.5 million.
Nice leap.
Or demanded that Nike retain him as one of their attorneys. Or pay, you know, and pay him $20 million for legal services, or just pay him $22 million. The timeline, and I got to tell you, it shows you know, the power of Nike here, and also the power of them not liking Michael Avenatti very much, because normally cameras and investigation and stuff. There's no investigation. Here it is, day one, March 19th. Avenatti meets with Nike representatives, threatens, stole a press conference the following day, accusing Nike of involvement in a basketball bribery scandal. Unless Nike agrees to make multi-million-dollar payments to Avenatti under the guise of legal work. March 20th, the next day, Avenatti, I'm not effing around with this, and I'm not going to play games. And it's worth more an exposure to me to just blow this lid off this thing. A few million dollars doesn't move the needle for me. I'll proceed with the press conference tomorrow. I'll hang up right now, and I'll go take $10 billion off your client's cap. I'm not effing around. Next day, March 21st, Avenatti on a wiretap. Have you held the balls of your client in your hand where you could take up to $5 or $6 billion market cap off of one of them? So threatening to mess with the stock market's not something that the feds take kindly to, especially when you've been pretty much publicly harassing the president for the last year or so. And today, the lawyers that represent Nike have offices in Manhattan. And they told him, yeah, come in. We'll cut a deal with you. Come in, let's talk. And instead, the FBI were waiting and arrested him.
Hey, man, you don't go against Trump, buddy. That the bottom line is, who's the winner this week? Donald Trump. You said it, Gabe, the Mueller investigation. I win. No collusion. I know. Like, honestly, I wish we could have bet on Trump. We'd be rich. Screw these games. And everybody who messes with him is they're the ones not feeling too good right now. Avenatti, good luck to you, buddy. You messed with the wrong people. He gone.
Yeah. Avenatti is going to claim that it was just aggressive negotiating and not some sort of extortion attempt. Now, what's surprising about this, what's surprising, and I like how Nike somehow are like the victims in this. You know Nike are up to shady things, but Avenatti just thinks he's too big. He's bigger than he is, Cam. That he can shake down anyone and, you know, I'll shake Nike down for money. And Nike are like, all right, let's just inform the feds that he's trying to shake us down here. Nike says Nike will not be extorted or hide information that is relevant to the government investigations. Nike has been cooperating with the government investigation of the NCAA for over a year. When Nike became aware of the matter, Nike immediately reported it to federal prosecutors. Nike firmly believes in ethical and fair play. Yeah, except for people that make your shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah, here it is right here. Can't even hide it. Brad Parscale, who is the election campaign manager, re-election campaign manager for Donald Trump, tweets, wow, what an amazing last 48 hours. I can't stop watching. Michael Avenatti arrested. It doesn't matter, Kemp, like whether it's Trump or whether who it is. Like, you know the singer of Creed? You know, like the band Creed, the rock band?
With arms wide open.
Yeah. We're wide open. By sacrifice. Yeah, like, you know, they were a big Christian rock band, right?
Yep. Made
except
a lot of
the
bread.
The singer really wasn't. Like, the rest of them actually were. Like, they went on without him, but, like, he really wasn't. It was kind of a scam. And so, anyways, he was kind of messed up after, but he went and he wrote a book, all right, about his experience and, you know, about his life and stuff and how he grew up in a Christian family, but it got to him, and the perils of evil of rock stardom got to him, but how he, you know, he was cleaned up. And so he went on Fox. Fox brought him on Fox News to promote his book. And they also knew that he didn't like Barack Obama. So he went on and he started ripping Barack Obama on Fox. And literally, like, 2 weeks later, he got audited. It turned out, like, he owed a lot
problems
of money in taxes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's how they get you.
And yeah, like, you know, they're just watching. Barack sees this on Fox and goes, oh, really? Why don't you just kick the tires on this guy? Like, see what he's up to. So it's like Avenatti. It's the same thing. It's like, dude, you know you're up to all this shady stuff. There's all these other charges, not just Nike, that he took, like, he took millions of dollars from another client, paid off debts for that failed coffee place. He substantial income, even though he never filed such returns, phony returns stated. He had phony returns. He took money and paid off his own debts with clients' money, misappropriated funds from his own law firm to pay off debt from a failed coffee business. Like, you know you did all this stuff, so you probably should even say, listen, it's not a good idea for me to represent Stormy Daniels. Like,
that's like, the thing. You said it. He's
like,
so
you,
cocky.
You could, like, honestly, like, you would know all this and think, yeah, I might get a little pop out of this, but I've got too many skeletons in my closet. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it's not worth
it. You have a problem, like, don't you lay
if
low,
he doesn't,
Gabe?
Yeah. If he doesn't do this, Cam, if he doesn't go after Stormy Daniels and he doesn't go after Trump, he's not busted for any of this crap. He's not even in the middle of this Nike stuff. He's still just ripping people off in L.A. and no one knows about it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's the thing. Like, when you're playing with the big dogs and you got problems of your own, like, I'm not going to come out and attack somebody to get a quick buck if it's easy to for them to get something on me. That's the thing about Avenatti. And I told you this, remember when we were doing Red Heat and Rage from the Morenci Studios way back then. There's just a cockiness to this guy. Like, I'm cock of the block and nothing really matters. And that's the thing. People in high power, when they find out you got skeletons, you're done. And they're just basically licking their chops going, this turkey wants to try to take us down? Well, you're done, buddy. That's the thing. This guy, you've said it a long time ago, like, he just doesn't care. Like, when you have all these things going against you, not a good move to pick a fight with a company like Nike. That's pretty stupid.
Now, I will say that it seems that the charges might be a little bit thin here. Like, they might be able to get him on the misappropriation of funds from his legal law firm. That's a different situation. And Stormy Daniels is actually alleging that he ripped her off as well.
Ooh.
So, yeah, like, you know, he's a real class act here, this guy. But I've already seen, like, a lot of pretty big legal experts say that even what him saying, don't F with me and stuff, it's hard. Like, it's going to be hard to, like, nail him for. Like, he's going to get hit with some stuff. But what's surprising is Mark Garagos is in on this, too, allegedly.
That's right. Good call.
Who, very powerful attorney, not as sleazy as Avenatti. I'm surprised that he would get tied up with someone like Avenatti when Gardy has as much money as he does at Garagos, you know? The crazy-ass world, we're just living in it.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We'll be right back.
Good to have Yang back. Yang, we hope everything's all right on the
Welcome
home front
back,
right
buddy.
Now. Game time decisions. At Heat and Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. Bad day for Michael Avenatti. He did mess with Nike stock quite
That's
a bit.
The thing. That's not. What is it? Their quarterly earnings were coming out, Gabe, and like just right before the NCAA tournament. Like, yeah, you're playing with fire when you're dealing with a lot of rich fat cats. Got that one in their portfolio, I'd have to assume.
Yeah, and you know that Nike donates to every politician in America, right?
True. Excellent point.
Like every Excellent one point. Of them. You know how much money Nike throws out there? Like, people, you can talk about their greed and stuff, but I know even like Sun Youth in Montreal, like their football and basketball program, like Nike gives all the shoes to and everything. Like, you know, I'm not saying it's out of their kindness of their heart. Basically, they get in with every coach, every minor player, every peewee, every little league, you know what I'm saying? So they know, oh, there's this good kid's there already. And if the kid grew up wearing Nikes, there's probably a good chance that he'll go to a Nike school and then subsequently sign a deal with that shoe company in the NBA after the fact. But college is really it's not really the NBA where the shoe companies get the big pop. It is college. It's free. It's free publicity. It's free advertising. Like, look at Zion Williamson right now. Like, Zion Williamson is, like, he's probably the most talked about basketball player right now this year besides LeBron James. Like, what other player has been searched more, talked about more than LeBron
he's
James?
He's in the two hole. I put Kyrie Irving
wearing,
in the three hole. And
he's
Durant,
wearing Nike.
He's
wearing Nike for free. He's not getting anything out of this. Like, he should. Like, his value would probably be about $10, $15 million for this year.
Yeah.
If not more. The publicity that he's got in Nike. Yeah, his shoe blew up, but he's still wearing Nike. Yeah. Like, you know, like, that's the whole thing. You know, he gets roped into a Nike school. Coach Krzyzewski and these guys, they're making stuff off of it. Duke's making money off of it. But the kid is in. All right, let's bring Big Man on campus. And what's up, Big Man? Jeff Nadeau.
Yo.
Big man. Hey,
what's up,
Jeff?
Big man?
How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty
doing
good,
right.
buddy. Pretty good.
See, things are back to normal on our show here.
Hey.
we're settling back in now. All right. Michael Avenatti arrested. And, you know, it goes to show, though, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, everyone knows how crooked the shoe industry is and the AAU scene is. But we've learned over the last 2 years or so that they're not going to get touched, right? They're not going to get touched. There might be an assistant coach that goes to jail. There might be, you know, a few random, you know, hangers-on that get tagged in this. Avenatti gets hit in this because he's greedy and dumb. But for the most part, you know, the coaches will keep laughing. The universities will keep laughing, Big Man. They learned last year, all that investigation and all those reports last year were all true. But the agent said that whatever. They gave all the evidence to their higher-ups, and it didn't go anywhere. And they're basically higher-ups told them, we can't do this. You know, they couldn't do it. And now you see once again, doesn't matter what Nike was up to, and I'm sure they were up to shady stuff. The story is now Avenatti, and Nike's like the victim in this. The shoe companies will always win, Big Man, in the end.
Yeah, I got to wonder, like, what happens with, like, Will Wade and some of these people involved currently. I guess it would just be a school decision on what they do going forward. But I don't know. I felt like the Will Wade thing I thought was weird because he was the only one really on a wiretap talking about anything. But I don't know, like, Sean Miller, like, he pretty much did the same thing other than, you know, it was really speculation. We don't know what exactly he said. But, yeah, I mean,
short,
it would be interesting to see what you know Avenatti's going to say something.
Short
you know
of
he's
going
to start.
Short of a coach, Big Man, being caught given an envelope, you can't really do anything. Like, Wade talking about why I don't understand why the coach, why I don't understand why the kid didn't take it. Well, whatever. Take what? I didn't give him anything. I'm not the one who gave him something.
Well, I think what hurt Wade was he said stuff like, we're going to pay him more than an NBA rookie minimum and stuff like that. And that was a bit damning. But Avenatti, I mean, you have to figure he's not the one pulling someone in on this.
He's not the one.
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like, you can know about something and not.
Good point about Miller, though. Good point about Miller. How does he skate? This guy's been at the center of this thing. All these other guys, Gabe, they're doing a few months' time, right? All the other guys involved, but he just seems to be the guy going about his business. Like, it's kind of crazy, don't you think?
I think Pearson was the only
guy that really got nailed.
Yeah.
You look at Miller, he went and got, look at his recruiting class coming in next year. He's got one of the best recruits coming in and like the third best recruit. He doesn't even stop. He keeps doing it. But like I said, I think Avenatti's going to pull some people into this. I mean, he's not going to just go down without fighting here. You know, he's going to bring someone else into this too and try to rat or something, you know, because he's going to do something here. He's not going to just say, oh, yeah, I extorted somebody. He's going to rat on other people. You know he's going to.
Well, he's a cooperating witness.
Witness, sure.
Yeah, now, you know, supposedly a cooperating witness and, you know, he's cooperating with the authorities. But I don't think there's anything that the authorities don't already know about what Nike you're up to. And I don't think they
care. It'll be interesting.
I don't think they care.
Once he got involved with Trump, you had to figure he was going to get brought down sooner or later.
Well, and he's too shady. I mean, even Stormy Daniels says, knowing what I know about Michael Avenatti, I'm saddened but not shocked by news reports he's been criminally charged. You know it's bad when Stormy Daniels is calling you out. I made a decision more than a month ago to terminate his services after discussing that he had dealt with me in an extremely dishonest manner, and there'll be more announcements to come, as in I'll be suing him. I asked that the media respect my decision to withhold further public comment regarding Mr. Avenatti at this time. Bad day. The funniest part is he thought he was walking into that office today, Cam, and get paid.
That's the best. That's the worst. You're thinking you're getting an envelope, and the FBI's there. Oh, no. Like, that's the worst. What a horrible feeling. I've had feelings like that before, Morenci. You think I'm going to get paid? Oh, no? I still owe you? Oh, that sucks. Yeah, not cool.
Yeah, but at least the FBI wasn't waiting for you. Just a book.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I'd rather deal with a guy with a prosthetic leg who drives a Fiero than the FBI. Yeah.
All right, so looking at tonight's basketball games here, guys, it's amazing how I don't want to use the term free money, but it's crazy, man. These NIT, CBI, whatever the hell they are, I don't even know what half the games are. I don't even care. Like yesterday, Harvard were getting 10.5. Harvard were getting 10.5 points yesterday. Wichita State were getting a bunch of points. Like, you go down the list, it's just underdog city, big man, of teams covering in these tournaments, getting a ton of points. And they keep on giving the points. So Xavier was the other one. They just keep covering, like, these underdogs. And tonight, I'm not bucking the trend. Colorado's laying 14 to Norfolk State. I'll roll the dice with Norfolk State. I'm taking what can Brown do for me. I hope they can cover. That's what they're going to do for me tonight. Brown against Loyola Marymount. You get these home teams. There's no one in the arena. It's like it's not the same home court. Some teams don't care. I think Colorado do care. I think Colorado would like to win the NIT. But some of these teams, man, they're just overvalued, big man, and it's been underdog city in these tournaments.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. It's interesting because in the big tournament, it's been the opposite. It's been a lot of big favorites. But, yeah, I agree with you on that. I think some of them, there are games like West Virginia, I'd probably look to lay the points there. They're actually playing really well right now, and they seem to have, you know, gotten kind of past all the suspensions and stuff like that, and everybody's starting to play pretty well. They didn't have a great crowd in the first game, but they used a big run to kind of roll in that. And I think they're putting a lot into this tournament. I think they want to win it. They didn't have a great season. This should be a little hardware at the end of the year, and they should be able to take care of business. They're playing great basketball right now. As far as Norfolk State, I actually like them. I've been on them a lot this year. They're a senior-laden team. They are off that big win against Alabama. Why can't they go maybe slay another giant? Not saying they're going to win here, but look, if you're going to give me 14 points with a Colorado team who their best player is off an injury, he's kind of, you know, hobbled a little bit. I think Norfolk State's got a lot to prove in this tournament. They probably should be in. They probably should have been in the tournament. They had a great year. Senior Layton, I'll take a shot with the dog here, but I actually do like West Virginia land points. They should be able to beat Coastal Carolina pretty easily.
A Brown tonight, Cam, at Loyola Marymount.
I was looking at Brown. That line's gone up too, Gabe. It opened up at when I was putting the updates together, 4.5 up to 6.5. So I'm really looking at Brown. And another dog that's kind of caught my eye, I was going to get your guys' opinion on Utah Valley, 2.5 against South Florida. It seems like a short price for the Bulls, but Utah Valley can put up points, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they definitely can. That's a good one, actually. The one thing about South Florida, I can't stand them because they're not good on offense. They rely on getting to the line a ton, but they only make 65% of their free throws. They're a bad team. I bet against them a few times this year. The only thing that worries me there is pretty long trip for Utah Valley, but this is a team that can score to basketball. Another one I kind of like is UT Rio Grande Valley. They've been real good against the number this year, and that Texas Southern team, I mean, they play no defense. I don't know if you guys watched that team at all. They turn the ball over a lot. Rio Grande's been a good cover team this year. They might be worth a look tonight as well. They had some pretty good competition out there in that WAC conference with New Mexico State and Grand Canyon and Utah Valley. I think they'd be maybe a good spot at home. They were great all year against the number.
Yeah, Southern Utah tonight too at home. 11-3 on their home court this year. Cal State Bakersfield just 2-8 in their last 10 games. CIT isn't exactly the best of the best here. They're not sending their best.
That's the worst.
The worst of the worst.
You know what's funny, though? West Virginia is 15-20. I think West Virginia can win the CBI and still not get to 500.
they're on a heat right now, though, Gabe. That's all that matters.
Why are you in this tournament if you're West Virginia? Why?
Huggins is hardcore. They're going to lose money. It's not for money. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll hit the Sweet 16 on the other side.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Oh, good job,
with
Yang.
With all 30 Major League Baseball teams getting ready this Thursday, Gabe, it's time to swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. They're looking to make somebody their 8th millionaire winner. If you like playing MLB DFS on DraftKings and FanDuel and you're not using DailyRoto.com to set your lineups, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a special discount. You'll get lineup alerts, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special discount today. Back to you, Gabe, with Red Heat and Rage Radio and our guest, Jeff Nadeau.
I like the nice Van Halen out of the break there.
Yeah, nice. Smooth.
You mentioned, Cam, in your update, actually, that the Bears and the Packers will be playing in the first NFL game of the year. FanDuel has already posted a number for the game.
Really?
Yeah, they just put one up. Chicago Bears. Yeah, what do you got?
Bears 2.
There's no total.
No total? I was going to say 44, but Bears 2.
It's Bears 4.
Wow. Oh, a little high. Okay.
Bears 4.
Divisional game. Bears 4. I thought Bears 2, Packers, 2.5.
Who even plays for the Packers anymore?
That's a good point. they picked up some defensive pieces and all, but, they got a lot. Packers got a lot of question marks with their team, and Aaron Rodgers came off, Gabe, not his best year last year. Like, remember, a lot of those losses, he doesn't seem to get the blame that other quarterbacks do, but he made some pretty bad plays at the end of games, right? It's almost like he gets a free pass, though, compared to other guys.
Two straight years, not in the playoffs. All right, let's bring Big Man on campus in. We'll get back to this college basketball. We're to the Sweet 16 right now. There's been a lot of crying. Ooh, there's no Cinderellas and stuff. Well, we told people this is going to be a blue blood tournament. This is by design. There's going to be some massive television numbers this weekend. There were massive TV ratings this week. Zion Williamson's making money for everybody except Zion Williamson right now, but he'll get his. He'll get his in a couple of months. He's going to be a very rich man very soon. But here we are right now, and I'm perplexed by this. You see Duke, big man. Duke have been on the ropes. They should have lost. They could have lost. They didn't. They beat North Carolina by one. We've seen them struggle throughout the year, laying a ton of points. They're 0-2 against the spread in this tournament, yet people are undaunted. There they remain, plus 220, as the favorites to cut down the nets. I just don't think they're better than everyone else. The public loves them. They're laying more. Their numbers are overinflated because of Zion Williamson. But as far as a college basketball team is concerned, we see they're beatable. They're dodging bullets right now, but I think they get past Va Tech. And I think Michigan State give them all they can handle, if not beat them, actually. I'm starting to get the feeling Duke are going to stumble before the title game.
Yeah, because as you go on in this tournament, guys, you get better and better coaching. You get more and more time to prepare. You get the ability to see what these teams are. And I'm going to say something right now that a lot of people won't say, but I'm going to say it. I think outside of Zion Williamson, I think they're very pedestrian, to be frank with you. I don't think they're that good a team without him, and we've saw that. I think R.J. Barrett's, to me, a bit overrated. I'm just going to say it. I think Cam Reddish, I don't know why people have him in the top five. I think there are five players way better than he is. And outside of those three, I mean, they're just not very good. I think not only will Michigan State probably beat them, I think LSU could beat them. I think they're going to have to really – they're going to have to stock up against this Va Tech team because, as per usual, this is a team that doesn't let you get into the lane. You're going to have to make more threes. And we saw yesterday, that's not something Duke can do or want to do. Virginia Tech has their best player back. Inside, they're very good. They can make shots. They're going to make Duke shoot a threes again. And that's what teams are going to do. They're going to say, we're not going to let you get into the lane. We'll let Zion score 30, but we're not going to let anyone else do what they want to do. And someone will beat them eventually because as you go more and more into this tournament, you're going to run into better teams. There's no more UCFs or Fairleigh Dickinsons on the schedule. It's good teams from here on out. I'm blown away that Duke's at the price they are. And frankly, if you bet Duke at this price, it's time to stop sports betting and go take on another hobby.
And think about it, Cam. Think about it. That Zion nice Williamson, Cam, keeps scoring like 30 points a game and stuff, and they still only win by one. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
So, like, if he runs into a team like Michigan State, that will just, they're not intimidated. There'll be a bunch of big dudes that'll battle. Izzo's a jerk, but he'll just waste fouls on Zion.
Good coach.
He'll put big pressure. Like, it's going to be tough for Zion to score 30 every game and carry him through. Barrett takes a lot of shots. He'll be better in the NBA than he is right now. But, yeah, I think, and there's a ton of pressure on them. Just the pressure builds. Like I said, you got Va Tech. After that, if they survive Virginia Tech, they would probably get Michigan State after the fact. If Michigan State gets through, which I think they will. Which Michigan State won't be a party for Duke. And if they got past that, they would either get FSU, Gonzaga, Texas Tech, or Michigan. So Texas Tech to beat my Michigan Wolverines.
I hate to say it, Morency. Texas Tech looks real good. I have a small future on them. I know it's one game against Buffalo, but the way they played in that game, they were so dominant. Yeah, I just look for value from a team. And we've talked about Texas Tech all year as like one of those teams in the nice – range of price, getting like a 40. They can actually do something there, but I feel a little bit better about Virginia, Gabe, but it would have been great for us if we could have just knocked out Duke. And I'll tell you, I can't live in the past, but Barrett got away with a nice push from behind on that free throw that I thought the world saw. Like, it was an obvious push in the back. Like,
yeah, of course they saw it, but they wouldn't.
Of course they are. They don't want you to see up there in the next run. Exactly, but we'll see. Hope they don't get the calls the next game.
Florida State and Gonzaga. Gonzaga laying 7.5. Purdue and Tennessee. Interesting, big
good
man.
Game.
Purdue. People were hyping up Purdue. We wondered about them, but, these guys were draining every stupid three-point shot they've taken this tournament. It's gone in. Here they are taking on a Tennessee Volunteer team that's cruising along right now. Texas Tech Michigan will be a real battle. Totals 126.5. Points will not be coming easy in that game for either team. And then your Virginia Cavaliers, Cam, get the Ducks. They're now laying 8.5. What do you think, big man, of Thursday's card right now?
Yeah, I really like this card. I mean, a lot of people will whine that it's on Cinderella. Nobody cares what those teams we get down into this part of the season. We want to see the best teams with the best players. I don't think we can have 16 better teams in this tournament than what we have. I mean, is there anyone left out that you want to see? I would have liked to have seen UCF. I kind of like them as a team, but outside of that, I like what we have here. I mean, just the best of the best. But, yeah, I think the lines are terrific. I think there's a lot of dogs that I have my eye on. You know, your Texas Techs. I'm not really sure why they're an underdog. I guess because of Michigan in March and whatever. But I think they're a better team overall. Michigan's going to have to really play well. Matthews and Simpson are going to have to keep doing what they have been doing. I just don't think long-term, Gabe, you watch Michigan. I mean, Xavier Simpson makes some of the most circus shots I've ever seen. I mean, just throws the ball up a lot of the time. It goes in. It's quite amazing. But I think Chris Beard's possibly the best coach in the country. No one talks about. I think
it's
this
Michigan's
is the last
pedigree
shot for those
man.
Guys.
John Beilein's pedigree, yeah. The fact that Michigan have been in the title game. Michigan play their best basketball in the tournament. They have on a yearly basis.
Yeah. No, they definitely do. And then that's, I guess, one of the reasons they're a favorite. I also think, you know, for as much as I love Gonzaga, you know, Florida State just another team that just has this pedigree. They always seem to be here, you know, at the end of this tournament. And it's because they have depth. I mean, they can go 9-10 deep. That's real hard to do. Gonzaga better be on their game here because they'll get upset like they did last year. But they have a little revenge in their minds. I think they'll find a way to win, but I'm not running to the wind to lay points here. I think Houston will bow out here. I like Houston, but it's all going to be about P.J. Washington. If you can get him back, I think Oregon will also bow out. I'd be blown away if either of those teams win. I think we're going to see plenty of chalk, and I'm happy about that because I have a little chalk in my Final Four. But, yeah, to me, the best play right now, I'm looking towards Va Tech, and I think Texas Tech as well. Va Tech, Texas Tech, I would vote those teams right away.
That's Friday Florida night, State, that game.
Florida State guys, remember with the death in Colfer's family, this team is playing like they're galvanized. When they saw that Murray State team and everyone was talking about Ja Morant and stuff, they were so pissed going into that game, and they were a family, and they just kicked the crap out of Murray. They just buried them. Like, when I saw that line at Florida State, Gabe, I just really like Florida State. I think they're playing for family now, and that could really galvanize a team, and I think Gonzaga better watch out. I might take Florida State on the straight-up upset, plus 275 money.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I took Florida State on Saturday. I love that play. I just thought, you know, you throw in the fact that of his father passing, and you know, Murray State has never seen a defense like that, a team like that, a length like that. Those are spots in a second game you can really key in on. Even yesterday with Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo was good and everything, but, I mean, Texas Tech's as good as it gets on defense. So, yeah, that's a great point by you, and they could use that. Same with LSU. LSU, one of their teammates was murdered this offseason.
That's right.
And I think they've really used that at some of the off-the-court stuff. I think they've used that to kind of come together and do their thing. I'm surprised that LSU's gotten this far. I thought they would have bowed out by now. They just keep winning these close games.
It's amazing how the pros and pro players and the coaches and golfers and they all get like the heroic, you know, Brett Favre played after his father died and you know, Tiger Woods on the anniversary of Earl passing away. They get so much love for it, but some of these kids, they go through hell and it's not brought up at all. You know what I mean? They're just, they got to play for free. They're there. It's like, you know, they just don't. I remember there was a kid on, I don't know if he was on UConn, like his sister committed suicide like the day of the game. Right? And they were more concerned about the game than like telling him and stuff. And, you know, we see this, we see this time and time again. It's, you know, like there's a kid on Georgia Tech, actually, a football player that died the other day, like yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's horrible. He was really good too, Gabe Young. Horrible, horrible story. The guy had like a career year too. Apparently, he's a great guy. I know that's a sad story that no one's really talking about.
Yeah, but the coaching staff tweeted out about recruiting like an hour later.
That's ridiculous.
Like they don't care. Like they just like all this crap, like that Izzo stuff about he's turning him into a man and all this stuff. It's like half these kids have already gone through much tougher lives than Tom Izzo has. Like they don't need to be taught anything by him. Like you know what I mean? They're going to be taught something by a multimillionaire, like what, you know, what are they being taught? You know, some angry white guys?
Who, by the way, who, by the way, swept up things under the carpet when the stuff really hit the fan last year with Larry Nassar, if we can remember. But that's another story we're not going to go into. But real quick, before I go, guys, I want to kind of relay this to what you're saying. You mentioned, Gabe, you like MSU to beat LSU. I like LSU. I think they win this game. I think this is a bad matchup for Michigan State. Michigan State a little beat up right now. Cassius Winston shouldering a big load. No Kyle Ahrens. Nick Ward still, I think, a bit injured. This LSU team's good. And they're real good down low. And are they a little
They are. They are.
Yeah.
They are. But they are, they man. They're long. They're lean. Yeah. I agree with you.
Tremont Waters knows how to win.
I don't
you
like Michigan State.
Yeah, no, I don't like LSU to win.
I'm just saying I think that Michigan State could beat Duke. Yeah, I'm not ready to say Michigan State's any sort of lock over LSU. LSU are a very big team. I think that Duke would survive. I think that, you know, they'd both be tough. I mean, LSU's so athletic. You're right. These SEC teams, they're really playing some good basketball right now. Very athletic kids.
Does it seem like LSU ever lose either? They always win. It seems like they win these close games. Other than that game against Florida, they always find a way to win, it seems like. Yep.
Big man, I got to give you a lot of credit. On one thing stuck in my mind before I made that bet. You said if Duke played UCF, it's a horrible matchup for them, and he almost got
it.
Yeah,
it was.
Buddy. Good call by you. I took the point.
Thank
I had
you,
them
buddy.
On the money line, too. That would have been real sweet.
Yeah, I was gutted for those kids. I thought they played a what a great game. And, you know, really, you mentioned the mid-major stuff. It was kind of a shame because there was a push in the back. They kind of got screwed, but those kids will be strong for it. They'll be all right.
Big man on campus. Jeff Nadeau on Twitter.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Time decision is Red Heat Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network, iHeart, and now on YouTube, Major League Baseball, regular season. Well, it technically began in Japan with Seattle and Oakland, but they're playing across the board this week, starting on Thursday, home openers. I see that we've got all the new food items that are listed right now at various stadiums. Yankee Stadium, avocado bites, sliced avocados deep fried and served with a habanero sauce. I didn't think you'd be into that.
I'm not really a big avocado guy.
All right. They also have this at Yankee Stadium. Crispy maple chicken sandwich. Spicy maple drizzle, white cheddar cheese spread, pickle, butter toasted bun.
Yes.
Yeah, looks all right. Yeah.
I like that. I like that better than the avocado.
All right. They've got slow-smoked baby back rib covered black cherry barbecue sauce garnished with dill pickles and white onions served on soft white roll. I think you would enjoy that one.
I would, Moretti. You're getting real closer to my wheelhouse now. It's getting better by the item.
This one I heard about already. Yeah, the foul pole. But instead of like foul ball, like foul like chicken.
F-O-W-L. Foul. Nice.
This is a 2-pound chicken tender.
Oh, yeah. That's
2-pound chicken tender battered and fried to crispy perfection, served on a bed of crispy waffle fries with ranch and honey mustard dipping sauce.
Oh, that's what we got to get into. Yeah.
That's in Texas.
Nice.
All right. This is you can get different types of covered fries. Buffalo chicken, shredded chicken topped and crumbled blue cheese, hot buffalo sauce, and creamy ranch on fries. Chili and cheese fries. Greek fries, sliced gyro meat, crumbled feta cheese, tomatoes drizzled with tzatziki sauce.
I'll eat it.
Irish fries. What's that? Like dipped in whiskey. Irish fries. Hot fries topped with stadium nacho cheese, crisp bacon, sour cream, and chives. That's not Irish.
Dipped in Jameson. Eat a salad. Thanks, Yank. Even Yang's busted my balls. Honey mustard, okay.
Game time decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Thank you very much, Dr. Yang. Yang's my new doctor. More salads. Just four games in the association tonight. Let's take a look at 7 o'clock. The Sixers laying 1.5 on the road to Orlando. 219 over under. Oklahoma City versus the Grizz in Memphis. The Thunder minus 7, 216.5. 8 o'clock start at 9. Phoenix at Utah. The Jazz minus 15, 216.5. And at 10 o'clock, Brooklyn takes on Portland. Blazers are 6.5-point favorites, 223. Ricky Sanders will join us in the DFS hour to go through the board for DraftKings and FanDuel and making some great picks here. NFL news. The Bears and Packers, the NFL's oldest rivalry, will open up the NFL's 100th season in Chicago for Thursday Night Football, September the 5th. And Gabe already came up with the spread, Bears minus 4. I thought it was going to be 2, but Bears minus 4 in that game. The Super Bowl champion Patriots are going to host the Sunday Nighter Week 1, still waiting for their opponent. The Browns today, in contact with veteran safety Eric Berry's interesting. Wow, Browns might even get another piece to their puzzle. Tampa Bay quarterback Jameis Winston, Gabe, interesting here. He intends to play the 2019 season at 250 pounds. That would make him the heaviest quarterback in the NFL. Currently, Winston is listed at 6'4", 231. Last year, Cam Newton and Joe Flacco were the two heaviest to tip the scales at 245. Niners general manager John Lynch confirming this afternoon running back Jerick McKinnon will remain on the team despite them picking up Coleman. The Raiders going to stay in Oakland for a short time at least. The NFL approved the deal to keep the Raiders in Oakland until their move to Las Vegas. The Raiders' new stadium in Vegas is expected to be completed by August of 2020. At least one person close to Rob Gronkowski isn't closing the door on his playing career even after the tight end announced his retirement last night on Instagram. Gronk's agent Drew Rosenhaus said he wouldn't be shocked to see the veteran tight end return at some point in the 2019 season for the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Let's remember Jason Witten was going to return to the Dallas Cowboys this year after a season in the Monday Night Football broadcast booth. Gronk leaves the NFL as one of the most dominant tight ends. 9 seasons, 79 career touchdowns, putting him in a tie for third all-time behind only Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. After surviving a big scare versus UCF, Duke still the favorite to win the 2018 Hoops tournament heading into the Sweet 16. Duke 3-1, Gonzaga now 4-1, Virginia plus 450, and UNC plus 550. The two biggest long shots on the betting board right now, LSU and Oregon, both stand at 50-1. Duke takes on Virginia Tech Friday. Our March Madness returns on Thursday night. Despite numerous blowouts the opening weekend, it's the second highest rating TV standings in 29 years. Game coverage averaged the second highest ratings through the first weekend since 1991. Viewership was up 8% since last year, and obviously viewership spiking big time during the final minutes of that Duke-UCF thriller. College hoop tournaments tonight, the NCAA, as I mentioned, Thursday night, but we got CBI action tonight, 4 games. Coastal Carolina at West Virginia, Mountaineers, minus 10, 157. Utah Valley at South Florida, Bulls, minus 2, 146.5. Longwood taking on DePaul, Blue Demons laying 14.5, 155.5. And Brown, what can Brown do for us? Well, they're 6.5-point dogs against Loyola Marymount, 138.5 is your total there. One game in the NIT tournament tonight, Norfolk State is at Colorado. The Buffaloes laying 14 points. Over-under in that game is 147. Busy night on the ice with 9 games. We've got a trio at 7 o'clock. Florida at Toronto. Leafs minus 226.5. Buffalo at New Jersey. The Sabres minus 115 on the road, 5.5. And Pittsburgh laying 190 at the New York Rangers, over-under 6. Game of the night at 7:30. Tampa Bay versus Boston in Tampa. Lightning laying 150, total 6. And a great one in the West at 8 o'clock. Vegas taking on St. Louis. St. Louis minus 145.5. And some interesting news here. The WWE announced that WrestleMania will close out with a triple threat match between Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship, making it the first ever time a women's match has served as the main event. Early betting odds have hit the board too. Becky Lynch, a clear-cut favorite at minus 500. Ronda Rousey, the second choice at plus 250. And Charlotte Flair, the biggest underdog, at plus 800. Lynch previously beat Flair in the last woman standing match at WWE's first ever all-women's pay-per-view that took place back in October. Hey, stay tuned, everybody. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage. I'm Cam Stewart. We're going to have some more guests come on. Ricky Sanders will break down the NBA card. We'll have a DFS lineup for you and picks from all the college basketball games, NHL hockey, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned, everybody. It's Red Heat and Rage Radio.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
I really wish we almost didn't start talking about this. This is like a fast food brackets, which I eagerly await round two of, as we're looking at the new ballpark foods for the year across the league right now. And some of this stuff's looking pretty good, and all of it's making me hungry, even if I don't want to eat something specific here. We were talking about the foul pole, a two-pound chicken tender. We'll just go over to Hawkland here, Cam. White Sox. He gone.
Yeah.
That's he gone. That'd be you crushing those Greek fries. They gone. How about this? Oh, are you into Polish food?
I love it all, Morenci. Yeah, Polish sausage. Yeah. I like pierogies. Pierogies are great.
Well, Chicago, you know, so they got to have a touch of, like, some Polish fare. A half-pound Vienna beef Polish kielbasa sausage,
yeah,
and a choice
kielbasa.
Yeah, I never had kielbasa. And the choice of three loaded baked potato or onion pierogies piled on top of sauerkraut, caramelized onions, served with a homemade mustard sauce.
Sounds awesome. I love all the layers of that food. That's a winner right there. I know Dr. Yang's shaking his head right now, but how do I resist?
I'll tweet you the link so you can see. Yeah, now you'll be able to see something. I'm seeing that. All right, here's a loaded one. There's a couple of some loaded stuff. Cincinnati, they're doing beef egg rolls. All right, they look all right. Comerica Park in Detroit, they're not messing around. It's a bacon, like, it's like a hot dog bun, but it's a thick slab of bacon topped with Asian coleslaw and sriracha aioli. Too new school for you?
Yeah, that's one other thing. You know, I don't need to get too disco, but I see that link that you sent me. Oh, my God, that tomahawk steak looks unreal. I would just put my teeth into that thing. It doesn't stand a chance. Nice rib. Wow, that's a great picture.
Right, here's what else they got here in Detroit. The Coney Dog Egg Roll. Crispy, and they're in egg rolls there. Crispy egg roll filled with hot dog and chili, drizzled with classic mustard and a sprinkle of diced onions. So it's basically a hot dog egg roll.
Yep.
The Al Pastor Dog. Natural casing hot dog top with smoked pulled pork, pineapple relish, sriracha aioli, and cojada cheese.
Yeah, a little too disco there. Yeah, this is millennials. I don't know. That everyone's dicking around with food. Like, sometimes I just like, it's very simple, Morenci. I'm a little bit more disco than you, but I like your old school ways. Like, you just want as disco as you go. You give me fries, cheese, gravy. You call it a poutine.
Oh, yeah, you'll like
you don't
this.
Need any. You don't need any
you'll
relishes
like
on
Louis.
There. Yeah, of
you
course
see
I
the
will.
Page. You're looking at St. Louis. The Twisted Top Pretzel. Three giant pretzel twists topped and baked right in front of you. Pretzels include pepperoni and cheese, buffalo chicken, or bacon and cheese. Serve with choice of dipping sauce, marinara, ranch, or cheese. All right, so Wisconsin, they've got this is as close as we're getting to a poutine here. The Wisconsin Ultimate Cheese Fry. A mix of Twister fries and fried Sargento cheese curds topped with Sargento cheese sauce and bacon. That's essentially a bacon poutine.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, we got to go to a game in Milwaukee, dude. Their beers are like $3 and stuff, dude.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's the home of beer. Of course we got to go. And food, dirt cheap. Yeah, Milwaukee road trip.
Got that big, like, keg in the outfield.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, we're discussing the best Major League Baseball foods for 2019. Ribs, giant hot dogs, and egg rolls are all on the menu right now. I just tweeted it out on my Twitter account. I put the link in our chat. I sent it to Blewett. I sent it to Cam. Everyone's got it here. Oh, God, there's a corn dog fried two-foot brownie at one of the ballparks this year that we'll have to get to the bottom of.
Sweet.
Mike Blewett joins us. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
What's up, fellas? Chalkiest tournament ever, so excited to break down. I mean, I guess the upside is that the games are going to be legit now, right? No big mismatches.
Oh, they're all going to be great games, yeah, down the stretch. But we're talking food here, Mike, right now. We're in the middle of our Major League Baseball ballpark breakdown yet. You seem to me like you're the type of guy that eats a couple salads a week and actually is like concerned about like the food he puts in his body. Is that true?
I am, unfortunately. That is true. That is true. I don't think I'm crazy about it. I'm not afraid to throw back a couple of beers, but when the metabolism starts to slow down, you got to mix in a lot more salads than you might have anticipated originally.
So if you and I go to a baseball game this summer, and I say, hey, let's crush a couple of chicken waffle cones. Waffle cone filled with chicken tenders and a slab of bacon drizzled with maple syrup.
Oh, yes.
Like that looks like a fun way to spend a summer night, doesn't it, Mike?
Who is that? Who's making that one? Which team?
That's in Minnesota. They like the bacon. Me and Cam agree. Me and Cam have the same type of palate. This is just bigger. But
yeah, true. Yeah, Mike's like a couple beers. I'm like, I had six beers last night just like casually watching the game, like not even getting drunk. It's just a normal night.
Well, and even Cam will try more things than me.
Yeah, I love Target Field.
Amazing.
And they have a great beer selection. Great. The best
sure
I've been to at a ballpark.
This is pretty simple. They're going, it's peanut butter and bacon. Peanut jelly glazed bacon and creamy peanut butter on sourdough toasted. They like the bacon in the Midwest.
That's the,
like that.
The thing
that's
is,
like
I don't understand
like
why they're adding
Elvis sandwich.
I don't want peanut butter with my beer. I'm drinking
a
beer at a game. I don't want chewy peanut butter on my sandwich, Cam. It sounds like a breakfast here.
It sticks to the side of your mouth. Peanut butter is a thing. Yeah. Like today, Gabe, I toasted it with a little bit of like butter and a little peanut butter on top. You're only supposed to do one. I do both, Mike. I'm horrible. Like I do the old butter and then peanut butter on top. That's breakfast time.
Well, I have to do both. Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, I got to do them both just for because it's better that way. It's more moist. But why are they putting
like
peanut butter and
Elvis
jelly
sandwich,
in a good?
Right? The famous Elvis sandwich. The peanut butter and bananas and bacon. Yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah.
We'll get Bob on and his thoughts on these foods. See if I'm sure Bob eats very unhealthy. This
that
is good in
chicken tender looks so good with that big, big pole of bacon. Like I'm losing my mind looking at that one.
The waffle cone puts it over the top.
Hey, would you really?
That's what I'm saying.
Would you really trust ribs at Yankee Stadium?
I do.
Ribs at Yankee Stadium.
I give it a shot.
It's a good. It's a good. I got to tell you, man, the pizza that I had at Madison Square Garden was really good. Like, I'm not just saying that. It really was good. Like, it wasn't just sort of like some local pizza place has the contract there or something. And it's not a slice. You got to buy the whole pizza for $12, but it's good.
Yeah. Still New York City pizza.
No slices.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah. Listen, in Atlanta, they've got the chicken and waffle boat. Mango habanero tossed boneless chicken served in a warm waffle boat. Drizzled with honey and topped with toasted pecans. Too many ingredients.
Take a look at Nationals Park. At Nationals Park, it's simply that big, big chunk of meat with the bone and house smoked barbecue, including bone-in smoked beef, short rib at the old Hickory barbecue stand. That's what I'm talking about. Nationals Park. Wow.
I'd like to know the price of that. That's a big that piece of meat right there.
That's got to be $40 minimum.
Here's
they also have
the
crab cake sandwich.
While I wouldn't eat the whole thing, I'm trying it at Dinger Dog.
Yeah, it looks good. The Dinger Dog.
Yeah, I'm trying that. That's the type of thing where I'm probably splitting that with somebody, but I'm trying it.
It seems like a lot of the team.
I'm married to a dietitian, guys. What do you want to do?
Hey, Gabe, take a look at the Houston Astros beer, too. It's called Crawford Bock. It's the old Houston Astros logo in like a can. Oh, it looks awesome, man. A home run every time. Yeah, that's a good-looking beer. Yeah, we got to go on a stadium tour, man. This is great. Yankee Stadium, too. Pinstripe Pilsner looks great. Good beers. Yeah,
I'll crush a couple of those. I'll try out a Pinstripe Pilsner.
Yeah.
Let's see what Bob. Bob in Vermont. Always Bob here. Always calls. I've got to call and say hi to Mike Blewett.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, Bob? Bobby?
Mike, you sound different on the telephone. You sound much different.
Hopefully it's a positive. I'm probably in like an echoey kind of room right now, so my apologies.
Oh, that's probably what. Oh no, I haven't talked to you for a long time since the football season ended. Remember, I used to always follow your show.
Yes, I do, and I think we spoke last week.
You.
So I don't think it's been that long.
Oh, we did. Yeah, last week. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you
mean? Well,
you
get my
game,
age, 50 years old. Get to forget a lot of stuff. Hey, Gabe, when I go to Yankee Stadium, I go outside, get some bread hot dogs. They're called Dirty War hot dogs. They're great.
Well, you get them on the street, you mean.
And then
street meat.
Yeah.
Street meat.
Yeah, it's good stuff, I'm telling you. And then for dessert, you go to Mr. Fluffy ice cream. That's good.
Mr. Fluffy.
That's all from New York. Then after the game, me and my brother go out to get pizza.
All right. What about the beers? No beers?
Yeah.
No,
I don't drink anymore. I don't drink any beer, no. Michael does. My brother does.
Hey, your brother pounds the beer.
I drink like lemonade if I go to the game. I had my daughter.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. You can't get smashed like me and Cam at every event.
True.
No, definitely not. No. Well, I don't like. I don't know. I don't need it for my whole body. I'm trying to lose the weight, so.
Oh yeah, you're smart.
It's tough.
You're smart. I try.
Hey, Cam. Duke almost lost yesterday, Cam.
That would have been huge for me, Bob. If Duke loses that game, we eliminate everybody in the pool. I guarantee myself $1,000. I was losing.
Good. I hope you win.
Me too.
BT's
going to
beat
game.
Them. I'm telling you. Yeah, BT's
so.
Going to beat them. I already had them going third round. Out. Ever since
you did call it,
look at my Syracuse, though. They stink. What?
Called it. You said Duke will get eliminated in the third round, so that's the next game.
I hope it goes. That's what I'm praying for, because I can't stand Duke.
I
the
think
coach looks like he's always constipated on the line when he gets squeezes his face. Gets mad. He looks constipated. Doesn't
he
look constipated, guys?
Yeah,
I know.
Hey,
knowledge. Gabe, Cam, I got Joe to laugh. He likes my laugh, and I like his snort. He's got a nice snort.
Joe Galena?
It was a good morning, right, Gabe? I called good. That was a good calling show this morning, right?
Yeah, good job, Bob. Good job.
I made you guys laugh. Joe was, like, laughing all over the place.
Yeah, Ranieri does have
And, Mike, you're from New York, too, right, Mike?
He snores.
I am originally, Bob, yes.
Well, what part of New York are you from?
I was born in the Bronx, and I grew up in Queens, New York.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I lived in Queens, New York. I lived in Glen Oaks. Where were you?
Mike, how are you a salad-eating, straight-edge guy? How are you not a mobster or, like, a bookie? Or, like, how'd your life come out so great living in the Bronx?
He's asking me. Hang on.
Thanks, Bob.
He's asking me.
Okay, sorry.
So, I think it's – I know people don't often think I'm from where I'm from. I think it's a reality of maybe just going to – Catholic school and growing up pretty straight-laced, not getting into trouble. I think that's how I ended up.
Yeah, I figured you like you were from Boston College, and then you moved to New York.
I was just like in a test tube in BC, and they spit me out in Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. The Boston College guy, moved to the
I don't
big
really
city.
Have much of an accent.
Don't be fooled, Catholic Gabe. School. I know a lot of guys from the Catholic school. They party harder than like all my buddies in the public school. They go wild.
Hey, you want those Catholic girls? Yeah, people in the chat want to know, were you there? Did you introduce the team to Henry Hill? Your connections?
It's a little before my time, but I was there for the next one.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Ready Rage Radio, continues Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Dave Parenzi. Lee Hawken, the New Jersey camp, is throwing it down in Toronto, Ontario. March Madness continues. We're on to the Sweet 16. And I don't know if you guys heard, but for the first time ever, somebody has correctly picked 48 out of 48 NCAA tournament games. Now, in today's day and age, guys, it's hard to like fully ever believe anything. Yeah, like I really.
It's true.
I'm sort of like,
How many entries they put in? 1,000 with different combinations? Who knows?
Yeah, and another thing is, Cam, a couple of years ago, some kid claimed to be like 39-0 at a time, and it turned out that he manipulated it. Yet, they're saying that no, it's true. It's impossible. It's a real bracket. So 48 of 48. The kid's 48-0. 48 games. And the odds of that happening, you're 12 times more likely to get bitten by a shark than go 48 for 48. What's that, Mike?
Well, this is the year to do it, right? With so much chalk. Where did he do it? Is it in a big contest where he can win, like, big money? I'm just curious.
I believe, Sweet 16. I think he's in a dumb NCAA one. I thought it was the NCAA.com.
It's a good
question. I mean, is he betting these games too? I don't know. Or is it just some random dude on the internet, right? Either way, the odds of picking 48 games correct are 1 in 282 trillion.
Huh.
If they were coin flips. Wow. Find out the answer. We converted money line odds. All right, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like basically it's next to impossible how this guy's done it. It has been the chalkiest bracket ever, though. It is true.
Yeah.
I don't really know. The number makes sense. With no one had done it present, ESPN, which is a leader in the bracket space, has brought in 114 million brackets in the past 10 years. No one has gotten the 16 correct. That's 1 in 139 million. So that's what this dude has gone against.
It's a big number. And by the way, it goes to show you that as chalky as this is, to nail every pick is unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm frustrated that my bracket isn't better. I'm frustrated my bracket isn't better.
I got a couple of 14 out of 16s, but I pale in comparison to this kid.
I can't believe that all 16 games in a round of 32 were won by the favorite team, though.
Yep.
Favorites go 16-0 straight up for the first time ever.
Amazing.
Wow.
I was sure.
I'm chasing dogs on the money line over the weekend, Cam, in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I know. Buddy, I'm telling you, that VCU win over Duke could have been so huge for us. That North Carolina ticket in your hand, then you sell it for more. We get Duke out of the way, Gabe, even with my Virginia, your North Carolina. I think we're in a hell of a lot better position. I can tell you that. And you know this. Every time a team gets a scare like that, they win. I remember when Maryland won. They got a scare by Boston College. Then they went up to win like that. They were down the whole time. Like, it happens all the time, man. Like, when you win that real nail biter, it actually galvanizes your team. Now I'm scared.
Look at Auburn.
Just on a mini level, look what happened with Auburn. Exactly right.
Yep.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
I remember, I'll give you an example. Back in the day when Mike Miller was on the Florida Gators back in 2000, they ended up going on to lose to Michigan State in the finals. But in the first round game, Miller had hit a miraculous buzzer beating layup against Butler to win. And it just barely rolled in. It was this miraculous win. It would have been a huge upset. And they won, and then they ripped off the next four games. They ultimately lost to the Mateen Cleaves Michigan State team, but it's an example of what happens. Sometimes it tends to galvanize these teams because they've gone through this adversity and they've gotten it out of the way. Does that happen with Tennessee now? I don't know.
Yeah, we've seen this time and time again in various sports as well. Close losses and teams go on. The Philadelphia Eagles should have lost to the Atlanta Falcons when the year they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The game that they came closest to losing was that game. Like, they, you know, they were up on the Patriots in control most of the Super Bowl. It was close, but, you know, it wasn't a fluky win. They kicked the crap out of Minnesota in the second half of that game that they played against them. And the game against the Falcons had the ball on their, like, four-yard line, and Matt Ryan was flaky all day. Yeah, and Julio Jones fell down in the end zone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
He doesn't fall down. He probably catches that ball, and Philadelphia.
A really bad play call in there, too. Like, they had a terrible play call by Sarkisian. He ran, like, a shove pass that got stuffed, and I was positive that day that the Falcons would score. They just did.
Which also, it made me remind me, and unfortunately, I don't want to bring it up, Cam. I'm sorry, but the Super Bowl this year, I saw I saw a video, and they said this is Rob Gronkowski's last catch of his career. And it was a big play to, like, the one-yard line. It was like a 38-yard gain or something. It was a big, chunky play. He didn't score, but he was taken down right at the one and led to touchdown right after. Yet what we forget about that Super Bowl, or people never really, you know, dude, it was 3-3 with 6.5 minutes left when that play happened. Right? Like, people all know Patriots won again and the Rams choked. Yeah, whatever, man. It was 3-3 with 6 minutes left. All right?
And Goff threw that interception when he double pumped into the coverage. They were on, like, the Patriots. No, they were at the, what were they at? Like, the inside the 10 or 15? Like, he was horrible on that drive, man. That was a huge mistake. Now, the game was a lot closer than people think. It's very true.
Yeah, people, you know, people always have revisionist history, you know, sort of when it comes to these things. But who do you have, Mike? Now that you see this, who do you have winning this weekend? What's your predictions?
I mean, the one place I really zigged at the beginning of the tournament when other people were zagging is I went with Texas Tech. Now I know they're playing your
good
team,
call.
Michigan Wolverines, and I do think that Michigan is a really well balanced team, and I would hate to bet against Phelan, but I just thought Texas Tech's athleticism could win them a few games here, and I didn't feel great about Gonzaga or Florida State at the top of the bracket, so I thought that would be a differentiating pick for me. If you're asking me to pick it now, obviously Michigan has looked really good, especially against Florida. So, you know, it's all chalk anyway, but I thought from the beginning it was a collision course for Duke and Michigan State. I thought it was lining up well for UVA to end up against Purdue. I'll take Purdue over Tennessee. And then I think it's Carolina, Kentucky, and I'll stick with Texas Tech. And the way Florida State's playing, they're just playing better than Gonzaga. So I'll have to pick Florida State now.
Yeah, I do think Florida State could cover. I don't know if they're going to beat Gonzaga. I think they'll fall short. They beat them last year. Is it going to happen back-to-back years?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Michigan,
I think Florida State, but they're playing better.
Florida State,
7.5 points.
Yeah, they went on a deep run last year. It's you look at the geographical locations of these games. It's strange. Like, you got Texas, you know, Michigan were a 2 seed, but they got put in the West. So here they are. They're playing in Los Angeles at the Honda Center. So they'll be playing at the home of the Quack Quack Ducks here, Cam. As are Gonzaga. So Gonzaga, those games are in the Honda Center. And big advantage for Virginia.
For Gonzaga. Big advantage for Gonzaga there in Gabe. And people are not recognizing the Virginia Tech Duke game in Washington, D.C., close to Black. Like, you know, you talk about that area, Virginia Tech and Blacksburg. Yeah. That's pretty close there, right? So maybe the Hokies have something to say. Duke in that game getting 7 points.
Yeah, Duke have so many fans, though.
They do. That's the excellent point.
They're all rich.
That's the problem.
Doesn't matter where the game is.
They travel.
Virginia Tech will show up in D.C., I think, guys. I think it's a pretty good point. I think Virginia Tech will show up in D.C. I've really been surprised
by
Virginia Tech
it?
Going on a little bit of – it's like 3.5 hours, but it's closer than Duke is, and Duke's a smaller school. Virginia Tech just has a strong base in D.C. That's all
4 hours and 12 minutes.
Not bad.
The drive.
But they have a base of fans. It's a big school, and they have a base of fans.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a lot of alumni there. You're right.
Yeah. So but, yeah, I've been surprised
can take a
at
bus.
Virginia Tech. Not
you can take
that
a bus
not good enough. But
$49.
Go ahead.
Good
you can
deal.
Take a bus for $49, yes, from Blacksburg to D.C.
Sold.
Yeah. And then Buzz Williams is out of there, too, right? He's taking the A&M job.
Huh.
I didn't know. Did
yeah,
I?
Buzz, been, but, yeah, yeah, Buzz that, gets around, like a, too, from Marquette like there. He's done a good job there, Blewett. Like, you know what I mean? I think he's a pretty good coach. He always loses
Absolutely.
His voice because he's screaming, but he's a damn good coach, good pedigree, good track record.
He didn't
record,
get fired
good
from
hire.
Marquette either. He didn't get fired from Marquette. He jumped jobs, and he might find himself at Texas A&M getting a big, fat check. So I would expect him to move on.
Yeah, I'm not seeing. Is it official that he's going to Texas A&M?
I don't see that either.
No, just a pretty strong rumor. It looked like there was an 8-year deal or something on the table. Considering what they just plunked down for Jimbo Fisher, I would imagine they're not scared about paying coaches right now.
That's a good point.
And the SEC money.
That's a good point. But, yeah, I hear, yeah, the ACC, though, is – the ACC is, yeah, it's all about money, right? You're right. Texas A&M, if they have the money – I see here Buzz Williams leaving Virginia Tech for Texas A&M isn't a guarantee. One thing, the further that he goes on right now, puts more pressure on Virginia Tech to keep
him. Absolutely.
You know, and especially if he beats Duke. If he's able to beat Duke, then it'll be a lot of pressure to keep him. All right, so yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll get Blewett's thoughts on Rob Gronkowski, and then we'll get to our best bets of the night. We'll get into DFS. Ricky Sanders on the radar. Me and Cam will break out all the game on the board. Game time decisions continue.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Well, your attention is focused on your college basketball brackets of the Sweet 16. NFL teams are focused on the 2019 draft. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start prepping for 2019. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge of regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% with the promo code FNTSY. It's NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Back to you, Gabe.
Cam, tonight I'm seeing a lot of pictures right now on Twitter about the people going to Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Milwaukee and Toronto play tonight in Montreal.
Awesome.
And it's not a usual exhibition game because the stadium is packed. So there'll be like 45,000 people tonight. It's like a good dress rehearsal for the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays record's been pretty good in these games as well. So I see the Jays are -115 tonight. Baseball starts for real on Thursday. So we'll start talking some baseball this week and adding baseball DFS and best bets to the rotation on Game Time Decisions. So we just heard that music. Reminds me, I always talk about it. It reminds me of the Patriots. And they use that song for kickoff.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, Bush. Breathe in, breathe out.
Breathe out.
They use that song. So Rob Gronkowski announces his retirement, yet it's hard to fully take it seriously when Drew Rosenhaus says, well, you know, I'm sure if Tom Brady calls him, you know, in the season and says, hey, we need you for a couple of games, I'm sure he wouldn't say no. So in other words, you're not really retiring. You just don't want to go through training camp. You don't want to play in 16 games, and you know the Patriots will call you before, you know, whenever the last possible date is they can do this for. So, I was ready to sort of wax poetic and say, yeah, he's great, even though I'm not a fan of his, say how great he is. But, Mike, he's not even really retiring. If Drew Rosenhaus is already saying, oh, he would answer the call, then it's hard to fully say he's retiring.
I understand that, but Drew Rosenhaus's motivations are obviously financially focused. I think he wants to leave the door open for Gronk to get a $5 million paycheck so he can rip off 3 or 4% of that. I think you're right in saying that you probably have to hit pause if the door is technically ajar, but I think most of us that watched him throughout this season and read between the lines of previous comments thought that this is a good time for him to walk away. He's famously hasn't spent any of his salary. He's only lived off of endorsements. He's in a pretty good spot. He's had multiple surgeries. I think he's a guy that could go through a lot post-football dealing with all the injuries he's had over the years. So in that sense, I'll send him out and say he's probably the only Patriot that I really genuinely liked. You know, just sort of a fun-loving guy. I didn't think he was phony in any way. I thought he was a genuine article. So in that sense, you know, he'll be missed. That's why a lot of people like him so much.
Yeah, I don't think everyone loves him. I know people at Buffalo don't love him. I know Trey White doesn't love him. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you, he's probably, my guess is, I don't know if they'll do it this fast if he shows up. Tonight's Monday. So he could be at Monday Night Raw tonight, Cam. WrestleMania is now in 13 days, and I imagine he'll be at WrestleMania in 13 days.
Yeah. In my update, guys, I gave you odds for the first ever female main event, too. Lynch, Becky Lynch is laying 500, Ronda Rousey plus 250, and Charlotte Flair plus 800 to win, Gabe, just to give you the betting lines on the women's triple threat match.
Really? So Becky Lynch is she's minus 500.
Yeah, wow. She's a lock. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I'm thinking about taking Charlotte Flair, man, plus
800. 8-1? Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Dude,
remember, the Undertaker did lose. It could happen.
I took every underdog Cam once at a WrestleMania, and I was thinking, man, this guy's plus 400. I'm getting these guys at plus 300. This tag team and this. I'm like, man, all I need is one or two of them to win. One of them won, dude. Like, I ended up losing money. I lost like $300. Like,
like the NCAA tournament, bet chalk in WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, generally. But Vince likes to mix it up with the storyline. But, yeah, I think Rob Gronkowski, Mike, he's going to end up being in the WWE. They say, oh, he has opportunities. It ain't acting. The guy can't talk. So it's wrestling, right? It's going to be wrestling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That seems like a natural transition for him. He can be an entertainer. He doesn't have to learn Shakespeare. He can be an entertainer and just kind of be his big, goofy self.
I'm with you, though.
To your point. If he skipped training camp and took the money at the end, that wouldn't surprise me.
I think the same thing's going to happen. He's had so many injuries. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to happen early, but as the season progresses, I would not be surprised. First of all, he's had, you mentioned it, Blewett, so many injuries, the body taking a toll. He needs this time to get healthy anyway and retire. But if TB picks up the blower and calls him, I think he answers too. I just think it happens like maybe right before the playoffs, you know, like wait a while.
Michael Strahan did that at the end of his career too. Michael Strahan did that at the end of his career, too. He would skip training camp. He skipped training camp his last year. They ended up winning the Super Bowl, and he walked out. But he basically made it known, which was a hard dynamic, obviously, because Tom Coughlin was the coach. But they came to some sort of an agreement that, hey, look, I'm a free agent, but I'm not going to sign with anybody. I'll sign on the dotted line sometime in July, maybe early August, and I'll make one last run at it. And they needed him, and it worked, and he won, and they won.
All right, Mike Blewett with us on Game Time Decisions. All right, Mike, so before we get you out of here, there's a prop here. Jason Witten, actually, speaking of returning tight ends, Jason Witten, regular season receiving yards, over under 470.5. And it's minus 150 to the under. I'd be hard-pressed to see him get 500 yards. I think he's coming back to under. Be more of a blocker and just more of a contributor and a leader in the room and setting him up to be a coach after with the team as they move forward.
Yeah.
Because God knows he's not going to be back in the booth after this. But 470.5 yards feels a little high. What's that, Mike?
It's a big part of the motivation why he came back. I think a big part of the motivation, in my estimation, as to why he came back is that he was not long for the booth. They were going to make a change there. And this sort of him coming out of retirement, quote unquote, sort of saves him publicly from looking like he got fired from the booth.
Yeah. You know what, though? I don't think he would. I don't disagree that he knew that this wasn't going well for him. But I think that he really did miss playing. I think he realized I made a mistake. I can't really, this isn't going to end well. But I don't think they were going to fire him this year. I think they would have rolled it out because it's a representation of them if they let him go after a year. And Monday Night Football's already had a lot of strange hires over the years. And the fact of the matter is, as bad and as nauseating as the broadcast was, the ratings were actually good. Like they were up over past broadcast teams. Yeah, you could argue the games are better, too. But I don't know if the ratings would have been better if Witten wasn't there. I don't think announcers really have an impact on the ratings that much one way or another. I think we'll cry about them or we'll like someone or we'll dislike them. But
I agree.
Like you said, I think if it's a good game, it's a good game. But I don't think they were going to can him this year. Maybe if he sucked again this year, they would have. But I think Jerry Jones basically probably offered him a job for life, too, right? Come back and play. And then just become an assistant coach with the team.
Or special advisor, work front office, whatever he wants to do, really. That number is a little low, but I would take the under. There's no way I'm taking the over.
Yeah, for 470 yards. There's one cam with touchdowns. Will he have one to two touchdowns is plus 200. 3 to 4 touchdowns is plus 150. And 5 or more touchdowns is plus 180 for Jason.
Later,
Witten.
Gabe, I was going to tell you, me and Colonel Kurtz over the weekend scoured some sports books and found some great, a few mistakes with injured players and stuff that haven't been adjusted. I'll send you a direct message. I think we could take advantage of a couple books that put up some really bad numbers. They're still there, too. So we'll go into some baseball stuff as the week progresses before Thursday.
I see FanDuel has Antonio Brown.
If Witten blows out an Achilles in July, do we get the under or does he have to play?
No, he
Great
would have
question,
to.
Mike.
Sure,
he'd
he
have to
have
play.
To start
he'd have
the
to
season.
Play.
Yeah.
He'd have to play.
He'd have to start the season. Man. Doesn't have to play every game, but he starts the season. Yeah, it's tough. He gets hurt in the first game. That's tough, right? But regular season wouldn't count either. It starts once the season starts. They have another one here, too, Antonio Brown. I actually like this one of the over, just because they're going to use him so damn much, is 1,200 receiving yards. He'll get over 1,200 receiving yards with the Raiders.
Not.
He's going to get targeted like 20 times, man.
I don't like the way he was trolling your Bills again. Me and Kurtz talked about that, too. Guy is a stupid with a bad sign to the Bills and a happy sign to Oakland. Why are you trolling Buffalo, Antonio Brown? Like, you know, you didn't go there to play for them, but you're still railing on this guy's such a jackass, Gabe. I used to really like Antonio Brown. Buffalo's not even my team, but he's just a clown. The way he's been handling this situation, screw him.
Things will end poorly for him down the road, Cam. The karma, the payback, it'll happen. He'll get hurt. He's with the Raiders. They'll suck. He'll get tied. He'll get arrested. He'll get sued. Whatever. Like you said, he's a jackass, right? And, you know, bad things usually happen to jackasses eventually. You know, yeah. that's the difference. Look at Odell Beckham.
He welcomes drama.
Nothing but kind
life,
words
man.
On the way out.
Yep.
Good point. It's a good point.
Excellent point.
All right, Mike. Mike Bullitt. So,
really,
what could be
Odell and Antonio? Very different guys. So, go ahead. Sorry, Gabe.
Yeah, Odell. Odell's thankful and he's actually a nice guy. Doesn't hate everybody for the sake of hating. But Antonio, listen. Antonio Brown wants to be a jerk, and I said it on the way out there that it was an easy target. It's an easy target to use Ben Roethlisberger all the time, right? And I said it at the time, Antonio Brown and the Ben Roethlisberger shade was much easier and made him look better because he knows no one likes Ben Roethlisberger. So it makes him look better than the fact that he was really jealous of Schuster as well, right? That was what was really eating him up, that he wasn't getting as many targets. So, you know, like you said, Cam, he's just sort of a dickhead, right?
Yeah, there's just no need to. Buffalo tried to get you. You rip the city. You know, you make dumb comments. You go to another team, still troll them. They're not even in your division. Anyway, I just think it's a jackass move, but. I want to get your guys' comment on one story before Blewett leaves. You see the story about Jameis Winston intending to play at 250 pounds there, Mike? A story that just broke today, talking about he's going to put a little more beef on. Last year, Cam Newton and Joe Flacco were the two heaviest quarterbacks last year, 245. At 6'4", Winston says he'll play at 250. He's 230 right now, adding 20 pounds. That's what he's talking about.
Bad call.
I know. Kind of interesting, don't you think? Weird. Very weird.
I don't really understand this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what he wants to do. Just a story that came out. Arian says, hey, if he can, you know, if he's fine putting on the weight, that's fine. But I don't know. I always thought he was like a little bit bigger, that he had that kind of frame to begin with. But anyway, 250, that's a lot of weight, man. We'll see.
Yeah, you know what, though, Cam? Jameis Winston was listed at 231 before. You know he was really in the 240s. And he was always hung over and sort of fat and bloated.
Yeah.
I think probably someone told him, if you actually worked out and got ripped, you'd be about 245, 250.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about putting up muscle mass, which can't be a bad thing. And listen, if he's going to get his ass in the gym, that's not a bad thing. Thanks, Mike Blewett.
Yep. Later.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Rage Radio continues. Michael Avenatti arrested earlier in the day. Mark Garagos just been dropped by CNN as a legal analyst after being identified by the Wall Street Journal as a co-conspirator in the Michael Avenatti case.
One less member on the panel, Gabe.
Yeah, they'll find a new Cam.
I love when CNN has their big breaking stories, too. Like, usually a big panel is like 4 to 6. They bring out the one where it doesn't even fit on your TV. They got like 12 people on the panel. Like, what the? Like, and not even everyone gets to talk. They just kind of sit there. Okay, we're here. Like, it's so ridiculous. But as we said before, the winners this week, the Republicans and Trump right now, big time.
Oh, yeah, big day for them. Like, they're laughing. A lot of cigars being smoked.
Yeah,
not weed, but cigars. A lot of cigars being smoked.
Not weed, but cigars.
In Washington. Yeah,
scotch and cigars. Very true.
Yeah, cognac, scotch, good call. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got odds here. Cam brought up some of the odds for WrestleMania. So it's the first time ever WrestleMania is going to be headlined by women. Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. So Becky Lynch is minus 500, big favorite. Ronda Rousey plus 250, Charlotte Flair plus 800. WWE Universal Champion Brock Lesnar plus 170 versus Seth Rollins minus 250. Batista plus 170 versus Triple H minus 250. And a no holds bars match. Randy Orton, the legend killer.
Yep. I got a lock for you. I just thought about this. Seth Rollins is like fighting cancer, is he not? I think he's like, isn't he like a cancer survivor or something? They're not going to let Brock Lesnar. Is that Roman Reigns? Sorry, Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns.
Roman
I got the mixed up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if it was him, it'd be a lock. He wouldn't let that happen. But sorry, I'm wrong guy. Yeah, Roman Reigns. I forgot.
Well, okay,
yeah, Lesnar might be worth a look.
Let me ask you that. So who would you take in a Raw Women's Championship? Would you lay the 500? I'd take Ronda Rousey at plus 250.
Yeah, it's a good bet, but I think Lynch wins. Yeah, it's probably the best bet on the board. I think Lynch wins, but I'm not laying 500. No way.
I'd take Lesnar at plus 170 as well.
I think that's a good bet. That's a pretty good bet.
Triple H is an egomaniac. He's not losing to Batista. He runs the company.
He's a part owner of the company. He runs the company.